Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So you may see that we have the communion elements up here, and we're going to do communion together at the end of service. And I just want to share for a little bit with you and really felt just to take some time and talk about our worship and why we come together as a church and why we take communion and kind of where what happens in that moment and why we do that. And you know, you may say, well, I mean, I know why, you know, I kind of read that story and I know why also, but we all need to continuously be reminded of these things. That's actually one of the points in this, is that it helps us to remember. But I just want to start with this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he wrote, "He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. But it is the grace of the gospel that is actually so hard," I add a couple words, "which is so hard for the pious to understand. It's actually the gospel, the grace of the gospel, which is so hard for the pious to understand, that confronts us with the truth and says, you are a sinner, a great, desperate sinner. Now come, as the sinner you are, to the God who loves you. Now come." And in this statement, he's like, it's powerful and it's confronting, really. You know, it speaks this hard truth to us and it says, yes, we're sinners. And he says that, you know, and it's hard for the pious or the haughty, the one that thinks a lot of themselves to really understand this, but it's the grace of the gospel that confronts us with that truth that we're a sinner, that we need a loving God, that we need a Savior. It's that grace that confronts us, you know, and I don't want to get on a sidetrack. Because grace has been taken out of context a lot. Grace has been used to not confront. But it's the grace of the gospel that does confront us and say, because he's so good, because he's so loving, because he's so kind, that he's somehow done this. We've celebrated last week Easter and the cross and what he's done for us. And him showering us with that grace and that mercy doesn't give us slack. It confronts us. It slaps us in the face. It should make us fall to our knees and say, God, I'm in awe of what you've done for me. And look at me. And he says, yeah, come. Come right in to my presence. Come right in. I want to wrap my arms around you. I want to love you. I want to be with you. And this is what worship, coming together as believers, as a church, this is what communion is about. I mean, yes, it's to gather together to celebrate, to worship. But ultimately, it's to allow His grace to confront us. So many, we don't want to be confronted. I mean, you know, I don't. I'm not even going to call you out because I'm just going to tell you, say it's me. We don't want to be confronted. That's, you know, why we put on these facades or we come in and have these walls up and we don't, you know, allow people, much, you know, God, much less people or God, people, much less God, whatever. But we have this ability to come in and not really be in, to not really be there. But that's not what God wants for us, and that's not what I want for myself, for you, for us as a church. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to, you know, it's a hellfire and brimstone and get ready, you know. Some of you might like that. I don't know, but that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, are we allowing are we coming to these moments, to this time, even as we come in to service the church? Are we allowing it to be what it is? But are we allowing that to happen in us? When we're worshiping, are we allowing God to do what He wants to do in us in that worship? Are we just, you know, yeah, I'm going to sing these songs? When we come to communion, how are we coming to communion? In 1 Corinthians 11, 28. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So really, first, I've got this as A. It's not, there's three things that I want to talk about in this scripture as he's coming to this place of speaking to the church about communion, about what this is, the Lord's Supper. But in this is not one of those three points. This is what we need to do before we get to those things of really what is happening as we come to take communion. And it says, examine a man, a woman, As we come as people to this place of taking this bread and this cup, let each one of us examine ourselves and then let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine our hearts of what maybe is holding us in this place of coming truly before God and allowing Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. Examining ourselves and seeing or asking, God, what is it that I've done that's hurt You? Have I sinned against You? Have I neglected what You've asked me to do? Or, God, just speak to me, show me. God, help me examine myself so that I can come to this place of worship in communion and taking this bread and this cup with a pure heart before You. See, this worship and this communion, this coming together as a church and as a body to celebrate, to get together, to learn, to grow, to honor God, to glorify Him. It's about treasuring who He is, His glory, His worth. It's about treasuring it. And you say, well, what exactly do you mean? What do you mean by that? Well, what do you do with the treasure? Well, you definitely don't treat it carelessly and recklessly. You definitely don't just go about nonchalantly just saying, yeah, I got some treasure somewhere. I actually forgot where I put it. You know? What do? You hold it cautiously and carefully. You take, if you have some treasured item or thing in your life, you take great care to make sure that thing, that treasure is taken care of. It's clean, it's spotless, it's, you know, it's in a place where somebody can't tarnish it or take it away. So when we say, it's these things are about treasuring who He is, what do you do with the treasure? Treasuring is saying, God, this is my treasure. My relationship with me, with you, that you have allowed me to be a part of your family and what you've done for me, and that you love me. That God, that I treasure this, and I'm not, wow, I'm gonna hold this so gently and carefully. I'm gonna hold it close, actually. I'm not gonna let you get that far away from me because I'm gonna, you know, I don't want to lose sight of this treasure. And I'm gonna cultivate this relationship. I'm gonna grow in you and allow you to do what you want in me, and also so that there is nobody that can take this treasure away, because, oh no, this is a strong relationship. This isn't something that I'm just kind of like holding in my hands, you know, that I'm gonna let go of. It's just, no, I'm gonna hold fast to who you are. So do you treasure Him? What is our posture when we come? What's our posture? This is, you know, what this is speaking. Saying, let us examine ourselves. Let us think about and examine what we've done, how we've done it, who we've been, how we've acted. So what is our posture? How's your, you know, how's your heart? This is one of those things that Tori and I have said with the kids, and it's so funny because, you know, you end up doing these things like, and then you use it the rest of your life, you know? Like talking, like, look, I know that you are throwing a fit right now. You might be five, but how's your heart? You know, like can we stop thinking about that you didn't get the sucker and think about something else, like how good your life might be beyond that sucker? It's funny, but then as adult, we're chasing around suckers. It might not be a lollipop, you know, but, and we run around with this attitude and this thing, and it's like, ah, God, and this and that, you know, and I feel like He's saying, how's your heart, you know, that thing. That meaningless thing that you're having an attitude about. How about we think about our relationship, that I love you so much that my grace is sufficient for you, that I've given you everything that you need. It speaks of asking this question of what is our drive and our focus. Examine yourself. What is the reason that you come before Him, that you come to church today, to worship, to take this bread and this cup? Examine what is the priority and the focus in your life. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17, it says, now in giving these instructions, so he takes this moment and he talks about the bread and the cup and what Christ spoke, but before and after, he did this. It's actually opposite of what we try to do. You know, like whenever you give something real hard, you know, you put a little good before it and a little good after it. It's like a good sandwich with, you know, a little bit of hard news in the middle. But what he did is the hard stuff and put the good stuff in the middle. He sandwiched it with, he challenged in the beginning, gave him some amazing stuff and challenged him in the end and said, this is going to confront you. So when he starts out, here he says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there's divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So there's a little, I'm going to try to get into it a little bit, but not dive too deep in that last part. But when he says that factions, there must be factions, we have that word factions in this, it means something negative, but really what it means is that there's people that are set apart in a way that they are seen because of what God is doing in their lives, and it's setting them apart from other people. And that's what he says, right? There must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized. That there's some that are recognized. Not that all can't be recognized, and this is just a special group, but he's saying, you know, there's going to be this time where there's some that seem like they're doing better, or that some that aren't. Well, you know, but that should show us that we need him all the more. But he comes and he says, I'm not going to praise you. Because when you come together as a church, there's divisions. So, see, he says divisions and factions, and you're like, wait a second. But you have to understand that. The factions is people, God's doing something, and he's raising them up to things, and he wants to raise you up to things and great things so that you're set apart from the world around you. But when he speaks of these divisions, he's talking about the church arguing and disagreeing about things. And coming, and they're coming to church, and he's saying, like, look, you're coming to church, and this is not what this is for. So you could go and debate all these petty little things that you're debating. And you're like, oh, I can't believe that, but it's happened so much in church. Then he goes on to criticize that they're making a mockery of the Lord's Supper, of taking this bread and this cup, that you're actually mocking this because you're coming because you're trying to actually get your belly full. You're coming and rushing before somebody else because you think you're more important than them. Saying, listen, this is about It's not about you. It's about him. It's about who he is. I love it. He's just like, so just look, eat your meal at home. This isn't about coming and getting a buffet. Don't come here with your belly hungry. Come here with your spirit hungry. And in verse 20, it says, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're like, wait a second. What did he say? Is it not? It's not to eat. He's saying, it's not to think of this and getting your belly full because you're hungry. It's like, I didn't eat breakfast because I knew we were going to have the bread and the cup. Now, in that day, in this time, they had this meal, the Passover meal. There was actually four cups that they drank, and this cup that we take is the last cup of that Passover meal. And so it was a whole different ball game. So they were coming and eating more than we do today. But what he's saying is, he's saying, look, you skipped breakfast and lunch because you're like, this is free food. He's like, that's not what this is about. That's not what this is for. This is a holy moment. This is not about your stomach, it's about your spirit. Says in verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. You're pushing your way to the front, thinking you're better than somebody else. And one is hungry, and the other's drunk. Somebody's hungry, and the other guy, he's like, I don't even need to eat the bread. I'm just going to go for the wine. See, he says, what? Do you not have houses to eat? Just go eat at home. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? The way that you've come to church today? I'm not saying that to you. Today. I think you came with the right heart, possibly. We'll talk later, but he's saying, look, examine yourself coming into this place. Let's look and see what is the posture of our heart coming into church, coming into this moment of worship and learning and taking this communion. Examine yourself. So that we can come in the right heart, in the way that we're supposed to come before God in this moment. It's funny that how, you know, what I said about just, you know, coming hungry and like you're going to get full, you know, and you're like skip lunch, you know, breakfast and lunch. It's funny, but we may not do that in that way, but it's speaking of our posture and our heart. We do that spiritually. And with our mind mentally coming. You say, wasn't it good to come hungry? Yes, but if you're starving yourself spiritually, coming. I'm not trying to start, well, but are you feeding yourself? If we're coming to church starving, we're not eating enough during the week. Like, yes, we come hungry. Yes, we come hungry to learn, hungry to worship. Yes, we do that. But I don't want to come to church on Sunday dragging myself in. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make, oh, I'm here. Yeah, I'm going to get fed. Oh, yeah, it's going to be so good. And then I can just downhill all week, you know, and drag myself in next week. Not feeding on the Word of God, not getting nourishment from who He is, not having this relationship that understanding that it's Him. It's Him that fills and nourishes us. I guess I should get to my points. So in this moment we come in communion and the bread and the cup, it helps us remember. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread," saying, "Listen, I'm not making this stuff up." He said, "I received this from the Lord." And if you study it, they say that, you know, they don't know if one of the other apostles, like, he's got this, you know, because he wasn't actually there. It's either that or he has this revelation direct from God. And he's saying, this is not my own understanding. This is what God has revealed. That's what he's saying in this moment. Don't take this lightly. I've received this from the Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Christ gave us these words, the Lord's Supper. He gave us this. And this is this meal, not McDonald's meal, but a spiritual, a relational. This meal is to bring us into this place with Him. It's that kind of supper. And it's for remembrance. We have to remember the cross, His death and His resurrection, because it's the most important one in the history of the world. It's the most important thing. And not only that, we have to remember because there's a difference in when we remember. You say, "Well, I mean, I remember, like I know that." Why do we have to remember? We remember so we don't forget. Oh yeah, I'm not going to forget that Christ died for me, that He died on the cross, and what He did. So funny, because in my life, and I know in all of our lives, like I know what happened on the cross. I remember that, and when I recall that to memory, I can speak that. I can remember those, what was done for me on the cross. But then I come to this place tomorrow, the next day, and somebody cuts me off, you know, or somebody cuts you off. Somebody at work is being really mean. Somebody is, you know, something's going on. You say, "Oh, yeah, I remember the cross." And it's like, do you remember in that moment? Right? Like, yes, yes, I remember. And it's not that you're going to forget the story of the cross. But when we call to remembrance more and more, when we come before Him, not just once in our life, not just once a year, But we say, God, I'm going to take this communion off. It says, as often as you do this, as often as you drink it often. Take this cup, take this bread, and do it in remembrance that as we do that, that it changes my life. It changes my actions. It changes my attitude. And it'll change my attitude this week. But if I don't remember purposefully, take that time, and I don't remember often, my attitude wants to go back to the way that it was. Self wants to take over. It says, you need to remember. Call back in your mind this moment. Take this cup. Take this bread. Allow this to do something in you. How much are we remembering whenever we're doing the very things that he died for us to be free from? You know, like, secondly, it causes us to proclaim. So first, it causes us, this meal causes us to remember. We need to remember. We need to bring up. Think about what he's done often. Secondly, it causes us to proclaim what he's done. In verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So remembering is proclaiming to ourselves what he's done. And when we remember and when we bring that to remembrance and we come do this, not every once in a great while, but often, that when we remember what he's done, it causes us to proclaim what he's done. Can't proclaim what you don't remember. You know, I think about that. I'm actually doing very well with this now. So I'm not saying this is how I am now, but I used to be very forgetful. Very forgetful. And it's so funny, even things that, you know, like are really exciting. You know, Pastor Tori and I, we try to come together and talk about the day and what happened. And whenever I get to talk to somebody, whenever she's talking, and she remembers the whole story, every little detail and word. And I'm like, yeah, it was a great conversation. No, I like I said, I'm way better at it now. And I remember lots of stuff. But I can't, the exciting things that have happened in my life, taking this just to a personal level for each and every one of us, how do you, if you don't remember them, if you don't treasure them, how can you be excited about them? You know, how can it, if it's not a treasure, you won't be excited. You know, I'm not excited about the things that I don't treasure. But if we don't remember, we can't proclaim it. And it's like, oh my gosh, I see this in a new way that it's like, I need to remember, I need to come and take this cup and think about what you've done for me more and more. Not that I didn't used to, I guess, but like, you know what I'm saying? I think it's one of these things. I got this from Pastor Rick, from my dad. And it's like, you can't ever learn enough you know, to like stop. That it's like, I can come to this scripture over and over and it says something different. Not the words are different, but the revelation's different and what God's speaking to me is different. And it's like, I'm not going to stop coming to that scripture. Because God's not going to stop speaking. He's going to continue speaking. The only way I'm not going to get more out of it is if I don't come to it, right? The way that I'm not going to get more out of coming again and again to this place of taking communion, the bread and the cup, is if I don't come to it. If I don't remember and examine. But it causes us to proclaim his name. Like when we, it's like, this is the most amazing moment in the history of the world. And when I bring that up, when we bring that up to the forefront of our mind, how could we not talk about what he's done to those around us? And thirdly, it nourishes us. I spoke just a little bit, kind of got ahead of myself and talked about this just a little bit, but it doesn't nourish us in the way that eating food and filling our bellies nourishes us, right? It's not like going to McDonald's. It's not about really the vitamins and the minerals that are in the bread and the cup. It's about the Spirit of God that is in this moment of taking the bread and the cup that nourishes our soul, that fills our spirit, that nourishes that void of needing more of who he is. It's about spiritual nourishment. John 6:63. And I wish I could talk more about this scripture and what happened before. I was just kind of trying to give you a synopsis, but Jesus is speaking in the synagogue and he's telling them, if you're going to have to eat the flesh and drink the blood. And it freaked them out. It says that is what is going to need to happen. You're going to have to eat my flesh. And you think about that and you're like, man, I don't like scary movies. I try not to watch them. And thinking about Christ standing up in the synagogue and saying this. And they were thinking exactly, you know, what we would have thought if we had no idea what this bread and this cup means and what has happened. And they're like, we don't understand. They said, actually, this is a hard thing to understand. And in John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And he's taking this moment, and they're freaking out, and it said that disciples even left him at this moment. And it's another example of this, what this moment is confronting. that we shouldn't come in lightly and come in this time and just take this bread and this cup lightly, but we should hold it as a treasure. Not come in just to fill our bellies, but saying, God, I need you. I need more of you. I need you to fill my spirit, my soul. I need you to do what only you can do. And I examine myself, and I take this moment to remember what you have done for me. And God, because I'm remembering and I'm allowing this to be at the forefront of my mind, I'm not going to be able to help or proclaim who you are. And God, this is not again to fill my belly, but God, let it nourish my spirit. God, that it would sustain me, it would fill me, it would fill me up with your grace, your love, God, that I would understand more of what you have done for me, that it would bring me to a place that I'm not searching. See, that I'm not looking for something somewhere else, because all I need is you. All I need is you. He says, this is a covenant. So the cup represents the covenant. The cup isn't the covenant, but the blood that the cup represents is the covenant. And he made a covenant with us. And this new covenant is that, he says, that I have done the work of going to the cross so that you could be saved, so that you could be redeemed, so that you could be free from that sin and that shame and come into this relationship with your Heavenly Father that you were created for, that you need nothing else. There's no extra thing to do on your part. There's no extra thing to do on His part. The work is finished. He says it's done. So take this bread. Take this cup. It represents this blood that was shed for us as a covenant saying, I will give and I have given everything. Everything. For you to be redeemed. Will the team come up and will you guys just stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.